It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Talk it! Come on, you yellows, flying high below this Wembley archway sky today.
Welcome to The Original, the Talker United Yellow Army podcast brought to you each week by Guy Henderson and Richard Hughes of the Herald Express and Devon Live. We'll talk you through the latest news from Plainmoor. We'll chat to the people making the news around the club. You can find us in the Talker United channel on the Devon Live website, on Spotify and on iTunes. Welcome to a podcast from the Paignton studio.
In the dry.
In the dry. It's chilly, it's wet, it's windy out there, but it is late autumn, isn't it?
So, yeah, absolutely.
What do you expect?
We've got a wet dog.
We have a wet dog walking around. Yeah, wet dog. But he probably won't bark.
Good.
Unless the postman arrives.
Unlike mine do then.
It's the 16th of November as we speak. Do you know November the 17th is Peter Cook's birthday? It's World Peter Cook Day.
Is it?
I'm not sure how old he would have been had he been alive now, but Talker United's most illustrious supporter.
Indeed.
Was born on November the 17th. So it should be World Peter Cook Day. We should all watch the Tarzan audition sketch.
Yeah.
Or the judges summing up from the Norman Scott
or put
trial.
Pete and Dad record on.
You want Derek and Clive on?
Yeah.
I wasn't going there. I wasn't going Derek and Clive. But you can do that. Derek and Clive. That was one of the records that was smuggled around school when I was...
Absolutely. There was tapes of that going around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still quite disturbing to listen to in adulthood.
Anyway, we digress. This is a Talker United podcast.
It is. Not the Pete and Dad podcast.
We have much to discuss. A win at Havant and Waterlooville.
Yep.
Two big local derbies coming up this week.
Yep.
And it's a strange week. If this week was taken in isolation, we'd be loving it. But it's just, there's always just a bit of an undercurrent, which we'll talk about. But first, we've just returned from South Devon College.
Where it's wet and windy.
It's wet and windy. Players are arriving for training.
They are. They're all dressed up in their sou'westers.
it's right up on top of the hill up there. It's blowing a gale and it's raining quite hard. So the players are going to have quite an entertaining couple of hours this morning.
Having the press conference at South Devon Training College, South Devon College training ground is always a bit odd because the echo that comes with Gary's interview in that vast room.
It's
a bit annoying. The best one is always when it's in his office at Sealhaven, because that's kind of nice for recording. But the echo is...
There's nothing to deaden the echoes in that room. It's kind of like, if you've not been in there, which you probably haven't, it's like a big team room. It's beautifully laid out. There's football memorabilia all around the place.
Yeah,
Gary's got his tactics board with the little magnetic players.
Yeah.
On there, it's a lovely room.
It's a great room.
It's
a lovely
facility.
But it's just echoing.
But it does echo.
So, excuse the echo, punters.
There we go, and we'll be back as ever on the other side of Gary Johnson.
So, Geoffo, back to last Saturday, win on the road, and really showed a solid, determined, and dug in the second half to get that result.
Yeah, we did. It was a good result. For all the reasons that we mentioned in the last interview after the game. It was good to come away with 3 points. And it was good to get 3 points on AstroTurf. I know we had to break that duck, if you like. and we did. And I think the lads in the end, you know, we had to have a little chat at half time because we hadn't quite got going. But we started playing a bit of our stuff in the second half, and I think I don't think their manager saw the same game as I saw. But obviously when you come away with a 2-0 win, no goals against, and you scored two, we created some chances, they created some chances. That was the facts. So it was a good one to come through and pick up 3 points and get ourselves sort of back into the top seven or so of the league.
Curse of the injury struck again with Rhys Lovett having to go off at half time, but with Philip coming on, just proved what a good goalkeeping unit we have at the club.
Yeah, well, Kenny Griffiths looks after all our goalkeepers, and he does a fantastic job. You know, you bet your life they're training all hours, God sends, and they love to do that. We should be okay this week, but sometimes when you get your first or second goalkeeper injured, you need a backup, and Kenny's very good at finding people that are available short term, maybe sometimes with a long term view. And Philip would work with Ken for a couple of weeks before, you know, he was suddenly pushed into becoming a hero for us. You know what I'm saying? It'll help his CV, where he's played in our first team, saved the penalty. And he deserved it because he's shown a lot of character, he's shown a lot of competitive spirit. And while he was standing there, we thought, you know what, he'd been saving penalties all week in training. And so we was quietly confident. I know it's easy to say that after the event, but the beauty is we've got a goalkeeper coach that knows exactly what's needed, works very hard with them, and the goalkeepers enjoy working with him. So, you know, great ball to have Kenny. We haven't said that so far since he's been here, so he gets his little bit of notoriety, but deservedly so.
And somebody else coming straight into the team last week, Ethan Archer, new signing, showed some good technique, quick feet, and really good potential for the coming months.
Yeah, we were pleased with him. He certainly had an effect on the game. As he gets more confident and he starts believing in what I believe, that he can play at this level and make a difference. You know, he can affect the game. I thought his passing was very good. We had 30-odd crosses, most of them from Stobbsy. But he was the one mainly feeding Stobbsy. So he had a good game, but he's got more to come as he gets more and more experience, as he gets to know the lads more. But it was certainly a good impression on a good first debut.
And as well as the positive result and the positive performance up front, both strikers scoring, Theo Williams obviously getting his first goal for the club, but more so was the fact Brad Ash finally ended that little drought that he's been on, and that'll do him the world a good, won't it?
Yeah, it will, definitely, because you know that strikers try not to show it, but they always get disappointed if they have a little run of games where they haven't scored. But Brad puts in the work rate, and any striker that puts in his sort of work rate is going to get opportunities. Now, he's had opportunities and missed, but this week he had a part in both goals, didn't he? He created the cross for Theo, which was a great ball, picked him out, and then he scored his goal right at the end. So that was one of the most pleasing things, not just the result, but you got a striker who got his goal to calm him down and reward him for the amount of effort that he puts in.
Of course, going into this Saturday, break from the league, FA Trophy. A chance, as we've seen before with games, come thick and fast, and you sometimes get teams drawn together. We've had Maidstone in league and cut back-to-back this season. Yeovil coming back to play more this weekend after last week's defeat to them in the league. Time for maybe a bit of redemption?
Yeah, that can be uppermost in your mind, but we've got to try and keep an eye on our team and try and get our game going. Yeovil got their game going before we did. Again, interspersed with some of their good play, we had a couple of good chances to get the game back. So we're just, you know, we're looking forward to it, as you do, because it's, you get that opportunity to show that you can be better against them than you were last time. And everybody, you know, wants to have a trophy run if they can. And we're no different.
Does it help the fact that you and the players have had a look at Yeovil so recently?
Well, they've had a game since then, of course, on Tuesday night. You don't know quite what team they're going to pick. They've got quite a few what you would class as first team players. I think they, we're never sure who's suspended or not. You know, we don't always get that information. But we'll have to see what team they select. They'll be waiting to see what team we select. So you won't really know until an hour before the kickoff, or 45 minutes, I think, in the trophy, what the team's up. And then suddenly you've got an hour or so to work out who's picking up who and who their danger men are and who, where we can affect the game.
How important is the trophy for Torquay this season?
Well, your number one priority is of course getting promotion. That's the number one priority. But I've never ever gone into any game hoping to lose. So the priority on Saturday is of course the trophy. And it, you know, sometimes these other competitions give other people an opportunity to say, to show what they've got, and put themselves in the fray for a regular game in the league.
Talked a little bit earlier about the goalkeeping situation. Where exactly are you with Martin Rees now?
We'll know more today. I know we always say that. Perhaps we should have a Friday press call because 24 hours is a long time in football. But at this moment in time, they both look healthy enough. They've just got to pass a few tests that we have to do. And if they do, then they'll both be available. If they don't, we know we got Super Philip ready to step in if needed.
Yeah, it could almost have written his name into a bit of talking folklore if he just plays 45 minutes as a pair.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he came out and had a punch the ball clear at the start, and everyone went, "Oh, might have caught that," but it turned out a good, you know, good punch, got it clear, and he done his job just when he needed to. So he earned his money and he earned his place on the bench, and then coming on with that penalty, and he was very pleased, as you saw. I thought he was attacking Ryan Hansen for some reason, but it was a great save, but Ryan Hansen done great as well to stop getting first to the ball that came back off him, off his legs, and blocked the shot that was probably an open goal, but he blocked it. So Philip showed his mentality by racing out to congratulate him. Very aggressively.
And otherwise, injury-wise, where are you at now?
Well, every week that goes past, you're a week earlier, but some of them are far enough away that you still can't really put your finger on it. But there may be one or two that have come back to fitness that we'll assess over the next couple of days.
And Kevin Dawson, you haven't seen this side of Christmas?
Who knows? We've been saying this side of Christmas, and that's what we hope. But it's still far enough away that, again, you can't put your finger on it. So, desperate to get more experience back, especially the experience of Kevin Dawson. But it is what it is, and we have to keep picking up the points where we can and how we can, and look forward to the day when we got a full squad fully fit, because that's a strong group.
Thank you, Gary.
No problem.
Talking about that, Dylan De Silva looks to be enjoying his return to the team. He brings a certain energy to the team, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. And the big thing is he knows he's totally clear now of any injury. You know, there was a little doubt in his mind about a couple of things that were going on in his body. But he now feels right and, you know, he's 100% ready to be selected. So when he is, I'm sure we'll... you know, we'll see the best of him again.
And you've got another local derby coming up on Tuesday. They come thick and fast. Taunton are a decent side. They have a bit of a bad run at the moment, but they'll be tough to break down.
Yeah, tough. I think they've been unlucky with the weather. You know, they seem to have had a lot, and I'm not sure whether their pitch copes with it. Yeah, we'll be looking forward to going there after a trophy game. You're always looking forward to get back playing for league points, and yeah, there's a few big games coming up of local teams, all of which, you know, you've got to pick up points in, and if you do, and we get through this 3 week month, if you like, where we've got 7-8 games. And that's going to be tough for all teams. So we'll have to wait and see how we come out at the end of that.
In seventh position at the moment, with the game on Tuesday with Weymouth being called off, could have been much higher. The position is a lot better than some people would have you believe, isn't it? The team is doing well.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of teams above us that we've got a game in hand on. Obviously, Weymouth being our game in hand when it comes round. Couple below us that have one or two that have played two games more. So it won't pan out until you get to around about Christmas time because people have had to have played the ones they've missed. I think Yeovil have had many more games at home, and now they've got quite a few away games. So by Christmas time, when you get to that 23 game half the season, then you know you've played every team, and you know where you are, and they know where you are, and that'll be interesting to see, you know, where we are at that point. And by that point, we should have everybody back.
So there we have a Torquay United manager looking forward to Saturday and Tuesday.
And sounding echoey.
Two big games, and sounding very echoey. I enjoyed your podcast last week, Richard.
Okay.
I wasn't with you last week. I listened to it.
You were gallivanting, weren't you?
I was gallivanting. I listened to it in a hotel room in Manchester.
Very good.
On the 10th floor of the Premier Inn at Salford Quays.
Wow.
From which you can almost see the curvature of the earth.
Can you? Can you see strange ways?
Yeah, probably. You can see Old Trafford.
A friend of mine used to live in a flat high up in sort of Manchester / Salford area, and you could see into strange ways.
Could you really?
Just enjoy that view.
There you go. I enjoyed Nick Broderick's contribution on the podcast last week. Very interesting.
Rough week for him.
The club statement was maybe poured a can of petrol on the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, if they just kept quiet, I don't think it would have been anywhere near as much attention on that.
It made me wonder. I mean, it's been a quiet week this week, but last week's podcast did make me wonder if the relationship between club management and fans is now irretrievably broken.
Ownership and chairmanship, you mean?
Sorry. I mean, possibly. Off the field management and
possibly.
Fans.
Possibly. Me and Dave talked about this last week, but I just do not think putting that statement out at 11 o'clock at night
Immediately afterwards
was a very good idea at all. I'd love to speak to George Edwards about it.
For those of you who are only listening and not seeing, I'm shrugging my shoulders.
Because he doesn't want to speak to anyone, including the BBC, who keep on asking as well now. Yeah. So
there you go.
Hey-ho.
December the 2nd seems a long way off, but there is a quiet, peaceful, but very meaningful protest planned.
But yeah, apparently at the moment, I mean, it's not been verified, I don't think, because they're still looking into the legal ramifications of sitting in after the club want to close the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure it's a good idea. I mean, obviously, I completely understand the premise behind the idea. I just don't think it's a good one.
We should see what happens. It's, as I say, it's a quiet week. We've won on the road last Saturday. We've got two games coming up. There's a game at Dartford to come before the Tonbridge Angels game. We've got a game on the 28th. We did have a game on the 28th, didn't we? Or maybe we haven't got a game on the 28th on the Tuesday.
I'm keeping quiet.
We haven't.
No.
There's an Exeter City Council executive meeting. That's the only thing in my diary that night.
You'll enjoy that.
I will. I absolutely will. So let's talk football. We've waffled on for long enough. Haven't Waterlooville 0, Torquay United 2.
Yep.
Philippe Chalupniak.
Well done.
We've been practising, haven't we?
Well, you have.
He's the hero. Gary's just talked about it.
Yeah,
during the podcast.
He talked about it during the podcast, but I said to him afterwards when we'd stopped, the tapes had stopped rolling.
That's an interesting concept.
that it really was a key moment in that game.
It was.
If 75th minute, if they'd scored in the 75th minute, I wonder if we would have got.
Yeah. And imagine the volume of the Gary outing if we hadn't won that game.
Yeah.
But there you go.
Bowler counts, it was a good save.
Yeah.
I think what Gary was right to point out, which not many people have, is the fact that Ryan Hansen got to the ball for the rebound.
He did.
Before
any
of the Haven't boys. And like his comment on... Phillips rushing out and violently celebrating Ryan Hansen's stop.
But a great save and two really, really good goals.
Yeah, two training ground goals.
Yeah, cross from the right from Brad Ash. Theo Williams finished that with the outside of his right foot.
Yeah, I know.
It was classy.
I was
that.
Good at that.
Were you?
Yeah.
I was never good at
I
that.
Was rubbish at actually being physical and stuff on the pitch, so I was never going anywhere, but I was quite good with the outside of my right foot.
A finesse player.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. We'd have made a good team because I was not a finesse player. Absolutely not.
Put us both together, we might have been Premier League.
Possibly. A nice finish, and the second goal, a brave finish from Brad Ash.
Yeah.
Great cross from Jack Stubbs.
Yep.
He keeps on supplying crosses. There's
yep.
crosses. And when he has Dylan De Silva on the other flank,
yeah,
the supply into the box, you can't fault it at the moment. It's just getting someone on the end of it and getting.
Well, that's the problem.
Yeah,
we don't have Aaron Jarvis there to get on the end of it.
No.
And I think they're hoping that Asa Hall can do a bit of that, pushing a bit further forward than he's used to.
Yeah,
so
he has got a goal in him.
Yeah.
Asa always got a goal.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
Him. A good finish by Brad Ash, just getting in where it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Brave finish, 2-0. All boxes ticked.
It was a no, crisis over.
Well, it was a no-win game for Torquay, wasn't it?
It
if
was.
Torquay go up there and lose or draw, it's a catastrophe.
All hell breaks loose. Yeah.
If they win 2-0, you still get a chorus of people going, you should have won that one 2-0,
yeah.
Haven't Waterlooville at the bottom and they're hopeless.
Which I think we're all probably guilty of
yeah.
Because we did win 2-0 and we've gone, well,
anything less than
6-0
up there was always going to be controversial. But a win's a win. It puts us... I haven't looked at the table. But
So after the game, we were fifth.
Yeah.
And then on Monday, Chelmsford beat Aveleaf 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
And we dropped to sixth. And then Maidstone went above us on Tuesday. I think it was Maidstone went above us on Tuesday night. So we dropped to seventh. But we're still in the playoffs.
We're still. And had we played Weymouth on Tuesday night, as agreed.
Yep.
And had we beaten Weymouth on Tuesday night, we would be fourth.
Isn't it funny that a Dorset County Cup game...
Yeah,
Can be the reason that a National League South game is cancelled or postponed.
This kind of dates back 100 years, doesn't it? When the Football Association was run by elderly men in... elderly men in blazers. And the FA took precedence over everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it still does.
Yeah.
Because when we get further in the FA Trophy... Those games will take precedence over league games, won't they?
Yeah, I can kind of understand that, but a county game?
County cup.
I mean, this is the equivalent of Torquay not playing... Let's take it back a season. So Torquay not playing Wrexham at home because they've got a game against Crediton United.
in the Devon
in the
Bowl.
Devon Bowl.
Yeah, yeah, true, true. But that's in some ways that's the anachronism.
I didn't see
that's
who Weymouth were playing, to be honest. But I hope they lost.
I didn't see. We're playing Hamworthy. Yeah. That one. That's Dorset. Is that Dorset? Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
it is Dorset. Yeah. So Yeovil on Saturday.
Yeah,
in the FA
who are
Trophy.
They? Yeovil, eh?
Tickets on sale. Tickets are cheap. Tickets are 2/3 normal price. It's 12 okay. quid to stand on the pop side. I'm going. I've got mine. I've bought my ticket. I know a lot of people are saying, well, it's a trophy. I'm not going, but I'm going.
I'm going to be controversial and say it's going to be a small crowd.
It will be a small yeah. crowd. But
maybe it wasn't controversial.
It's Yeovil. Yeah. It's a cup game.
Yeovil don't have many fans anyway. Now,
ooh, that's controversial.
Well, they bought, what, 300 yeah. down yeah. for that yeah. game? We took 800 to Weston.
And we'll take a
similar number. Where are you, Yeovil fans? Obviously, they do get quite a decent home crowd.
Yeah.
So why don't they travel?
It's not exactly
Have they
hard.
Not got cars?
It's not a difficult trip.
In Yeovil?
They helicopter everywhere.
Do they? Yeah.
They're having an incredible season in the league. They're 9 points clear at the top.
Yeah,
now.
They've got a lot of players. And they have a good squad. And some of those players are much better than our players, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I know a lot.
I'm going to say it now. I don't think anyone's going to catch Yeovil
no,
now.
I don't think anybody is. I
so
think
we have right. to be, we have to be second or third.
We do, because that way the first phase
playoff
of playoffs
yeah.
happens, and then we play. Somewhere.
You don't want to go out to bloody Averley in the first playoff game.
No. See, that was going to be my question to you. Is the can we beat Yeovil and win the title now?
I don't think so, no.
I think
And I know I'll get shot down for saying that by... Well, I would do if Gary listened, because he would want positivity. But you have to look at that table and think, crikey.
It's going to be a tall order.
And their squad. Yeah. And their squad. And their results.
Rhys Murphy, Jake Hyde, Frank Nouble.
Yeah, exactly.
Frank was always going to score against us, yeah. wasn't he? Jordan
they
Young.
They were much better than us on the day, and I don't think we played that badly.
No. Lad called Jordan Young scored 3 in a 4-2 win over yeah. Farnborough on Tuesday. No, I think you're right. I don't think we did play that badly. They were just better.
Yeah.
Got
more resources.
Yeah.
Full stop.
And there was no point afterwards in banging the table and saying we was robbed, because we weren't.
No.
We were beaten soundly.
There was a moment when we got that one goal back that you thought, oh, crikey, we could get a draw out of this. But yeah. that was the best that it got.
Yeah. They're 13 points ahead of us now.
Yeah.
They've won 11 games on the trot.
Yeah.
It's the kind of run that we put together in National League South
yeah.
after Christmas.
Well, we still had Woking breathing down our necks. They don't even have a Woking breathing down their necks.
They have Averley and Bath and us. And,
who aren't really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, we may have to say goodbye to Yeovil.
Yeah.
Let's beat them in the cup on Saturday, though.
Yeah.
I wonder what sort of team they'll put out. They have a big squad.
I think they'll put out a weaker team this weekend.
Yeah.
But then, as Gary suggested, their weaker team is probably still very good.
It's going to be good. I wonder what sort of team Gary will put out. Obviously, he doesn't give any clues away.
No,
he's never going to, and I understand that. But you
sounds
would
like
he
might have a goalkeeper back.
Yeah. Whether it's Reece
yeah.
or Mark Holstead. Philip Shalupnijak sounds
oh, very
as
good.
Sounds as if his time
can you
as a
do it on demand. Say again.
Shalupnijak.
And again.
Jack.
Yeah. It's very old school. Taking the Mickey out of someone's surname,
isn't
it? Yeah.
It's a bit, sorry. But it sounds as if his time in the first team
does. Yeah, which is a shame. Yeah. But what a caveat.
Yeah.
No, caveat. That's the wrong word. What a thing.
A cameo.
A cameo. That was the word I was looking for. Yeah, so literally half a game.
45 minutes, a penalty
save.
A massive penalty save, and
thank you very much. Here's your brown envelope.
Yeah. Do they still do that?
Well, when I was up in Cambridgeshire, that's how some of the teams got paid after each game. Some of the players got paid after
brown
each
envelope.
Game. And yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. It all goes through the books, but they're just the money is in a brown envelope because it's come in from the punters on the gate.
So Saturday will be interesting. The Yeovil team lineup will be interesting. As you say, we weren't that far off doing something against them, although they were never going to.
That small period after we got one back.
I wonder what comes out next week. Do we want to stay in the trophy?
Depends whether you get to the final or not, doesn't it? And even then, I'm not that bothered about an FA Trophy final if we haven't gone up.
No, an FA
We've had that before, yeah. And it was a bad way to end a season, losing an FA Trophy final
to Ebbsfleet.
Days after you've gone out of the playoffs.
Yeah. It was not a pleasant experience. No, but then again, you look at the FA Trophy and it was FC United of Manchester at Plainmoor.
When they were new and fresh. Yeah.
And that was a cracking game at Plainmoor, and we beat them. So, you know, there is value in the FA Trophy, and, you know, if we were elderly men in blazers in the Football Association headquarters,
I've got a cardigan on.
We'd be loving the FA Trophy.
Yeah.
We'd be saying that clubs should be prioritising the FA Trophy.
I don't know.
But then we go on. we go on to Taunton.
Taunton
Tuesday night, isn't it?
Every week this year, the team, podcast, you talk about another team that we should not be playing.
We've only ever played Taunton once, and that was January.
Yeah, and we
beat them 4-2.
Yeah,
in the FA Trophy.
Yeah, Dylan was that DeSilva January this year? Was January it? 23. I thought it was longer than that. Yeah,
Dylan De Silva scored. Ali Omar scored.
Ali Omar.
How's he doing? Should look him up. And Aaron Jarvis got two. One of them a penalty.
That's right. Yeah.
One of them a penalty.
I wonder what his stats are like. I bet he scored more goals from the penalty spot than he has from open play.
And we need to look back, and I'll have to reread all of your reports to find out how many of those penalties he has actually won.
Don't do that. That's like the worst night of someone's life, isn't it? Wow. Sitting there and to reread all those.
Listen, I've got an Exeter City Council strategic scrutiny meeting.
That's a good point.
Yeah. But yeah, Taunton, they're 15th. They're only 4 points behind us. They started really well. They were up in the top four.
They've done a Torquay. They sort of wobbled about that sort of four or five team sort of from third to about seventh.
Yeah.
Sort of oscillated.
And they've gone five games without a win now.
Yeah.
So that's a game we ought to win.
We've got to win it.
There'll be a big crowd up there. It's ticket only.
Yeah.
I've got mine.
I don't think it's segregated either, is it?
Probably not.
Yeah.
I don't know. They segregated Western.
Yeah.
Which didn't work terribly well.
No, but it came on the back of a little bit of naughtiness the time before, didn't it? So I can see that. But
we were almost kettled at Western.
Really?
You couldn't see very well because the ground, it's actually like Cray Valley Paper Mills on TV last night.
Watched a bit of that.
It's flat.
How did that finish, by the way?
6-1.
Oh, did it?
It was 1 inch at half time.
I saw it up until half time. Yeah.
Lucas Ness played well for Charlton.
Oh, I didn't realise he was playing.
Yeah, he played well. Good player, quality player.
Yeah. I saw Lisby score his goal.
The goals all came in a rush at the end. It was like the Celtic game at the weekend. Right. The game, Cray Valley held out and held out and held out. And then it went 2-1. Then it went 3-1, and after that,
good on them though to get that far.
Yeah, they did well
for a paper mill.
There were some awful, paper puns.
Are you only allowed to play for that team if you work in the mill?
It would have been a works team.
Well, nearly every there's lots of examples of that. Yeah. But I think that we should go back to that rule. If you are a works team, you have to work whatever.
All these teams in Eastern Europe that were Lokomotive, Leipzig, Red Star were the army teams and all that sort of thing.
Imagine the Arsenal and all the players having to work in there.
The Red Bull Leipzig, do they all work in a fizzy pop factory?
Yes.
They do they?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the law over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I didn't realise that.
Yeah, yeah.
yes, right. Taunton, there's some familiar faces at Taunton. Dan Lavercombe's at Taunton.
Is he? Right, I didn't realise that.
Dan Lavercombe, the goalkeeper.
Yeah. Close to home.
Lloyd James, who we had
loan. Yeah, I liked him.
December 2019, so he was a Gary loan.
Yeah.
I'd actually, in my mind, he was further back than that. But he's one of those blokes, he's probably only in his late 20s, early 30s. But he looks like a 1950s bin man, Lloyd James. He's got that. He looks like a much older chap than he is.
Yeah.
He's a good player. Liked him.
Yeah.
He did well. 1950s
bin man.
Matt Villis is assistant manager there.
He is. Yeah. He was a decent little player that we had for a while on loan from Plymouth. I think he might have.
He signed permanently after the loan. But I think, if my memory serves me correctly, he was, had a season that was blighted by injuries.
Yeah.
But that's a long time ago. It's nearly 20 years ago now. Matt Phillips. So, yeah, another good player to have around, he was. So
at one point in time, 20 years ago, was before I was born.
I know.
And now it's...
Now it's just Matt Phillips.
It's more than half my life.
So just to expand on my theory, look, if we were looking at this week in isolation,
okay,
it would be a great week. We've just won a game on the road.
Yeah.
We're seventh in the table.
Yeah.
We've got two big local derbies coming up, one of them at home to our biggest rivals.
Okay.
And we should be thinking, wow, this is a great week, but it doesn't, it just feel, the atmosphere is still...
It's still, yeah, well, it's been blighted by stuff off the pitch, stupid statements, and an inability to put together a half-decent run. Yeah. I mean, we did put together that five-game, six-game winning run or whatever it was, and we looked solid then. We had Aaron Jarvis up front, funnily enough.
Yeah.
And Tom Lapsley playing.
That's true. Tom Lapsley makes such a big difference.
We don't play well
without
Tom Lapsley.
You're absolutely right. Who is there to shift those pianos when Tom's not there?
Exactly.
It started at Weston-super-Mare when, you know, you suddenly noticed, well, wait a minute, you know, Tom's not there and the opponents know Tom's not there and they're just playing through the Lapsley gap.
Yeah, the Lapsley gap.
All the time. And, you know, that's what's happened. That's the danger.
Yeah. But get well soon, Tom.
Absolutely. If we're sitting here next week and we've picked up 3 points on the road again and we're through to the next round of the trophy, we will feel absolutely cock-a-hoop, but there's still in the background, there's still that feeling.
There's background feeling, and I think people need more than a couple of wins to shift that.
There's unfinished business, isn't there?
Yeah.
And that's going to hang over us for quite a while.
Yeah.
So
It's been an awkward period for the club and the team. We need to... it doesn't look like the awkwardness is going to resolve itself off the pitch. So let's try and let's hope it resolves itself on the pitch.
Indeed. A couple of things.
Any other business?
Any other bit of this? There's plenty of other business. Julian's been picking up some bits and pieces from elsewhere in non-league. Some play in the Southern...
That's
Premier.
Probably a non-league team, elsewhere. Elsewhere FC.
Elsewhere. Yeah, we've got hashtag FC.
Yeah,
haven't we?
I know.
In Southern Premier South, Scott Rendell got his 17th goal of the season.
Yeah, he's knocking him in. I mean, he's playing way below the standard he should be, to be fair. AFC Tottenham, they're flying in that league as well.
Yeah, they beat Merthyr 3-1.
Yeah.
Danny Hollands scored again for Gosport Borough. They won 2-1 at home to Hendon.
Mm-hmm.
And then way down in Southern 1, Brett Williams scored for Bashley at Bishop's Cleeve in front of a crowd of 99.
Wow.
That's the kind of crowds they're getting in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, you just beat me to it.
Your punchline, sorry, mate.
So, Stephen Gerrard and, what's his name, the old Liverpool captain?
Jordan Henderson.
Yeah, that's him. They played in front of 693 or something the other day.
It's just not catching on, is it? But
and then, they're going to pretend to me that that's a competitive league.
All about money. And somebody was, some halfwit was talking about admitting a Saudi team into the Champions League, which we could claim an exclusive.
You mean the European Champions League?
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, Australia take part in the Eurovision Song Contest.
Well, Israel take part in the Euros.
There are precedents. But we said weeks ago, you wait for some halfwit to say we'll admit a Saudi team into the Champions League, and some halfwit did.
Yeah. Well done.
So well done, that halfwit. Liam Prynne scored 2 for Tavistock.
I thought you were naming the halfwit then.
No, I'm moving on rapidly. Liam Prynne, 2 goals for Tavistock.
Yeah, he's still scoring goals for them, isn't he? He's doing well. They're not having the greatest season at the moment, though.
They won 3-2 at Bristol Manor Farm, though.
Yeah.
So, decent. Bristol Manor Farm on the Portway at Bristol. I used to go and watch games there. I used to go and visit my grandmother.
You always pass it when you go. It's a kind of little built-up area, isn't it, as you drive into Bristol?
My grandmother used to live in Sea Mills, which is the built-up area on the left there. And when we used to go up and visit, I used to sort of think, Saturday afternoon, I'm just going to go to the football. So I used to walk down the road, Bristol Manor Farm, watch a few games there. And Wimborne are top of the league. They won 3-2 at home to Mousel.
Yeah.
So they're going well.
Mousel and no mugs either, so that's good.
You see the photographs of Mousel's ground. Somebody sent a drone up and got a picture of Mousel's ground in amongst the Cornish countryside with the coast in the background, with the floodlights on. It was beautiful. Idyllic. It was absolutely gorgeous. You see these pictures of grounds in the Faroe Islands and things like that, and you think, that looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Mousel looked just as good.
Yeah.
But there is that great picture of Playmore, isn't there, that keeps cropping up on social media, taken from above with the coast and the bay and Brixham in the distance. Yeah, you can. You probably can. There you go. And a little bit of non-league action as well. Brixham won 1-0 overseas last Saturday.
They did.
Won 1-0 at Cowes in the Kieran Parkin Vars.
14th or 17th minute or something.
It was early, wasn't it, defend that.
I went to Brixham
on Tuesday. I did try and quiz a couple of the lads there about what the game was like, but their memories of it were a little hazy.
I wonder why that would be.
So,
I wonder if the bar on the ferry was any good.
Probably. It's not a very long ferry trip.
No, but
it?
You can get a couple of pints down.
I imagine. They've been drawn at home in the next round. December the 2nd, they're at home to Downton.
Yes.
It's Downton Abbey isn't a real place.
No.
It's Downton.
In fact, they must have only just reached this level, because this season was the first time I've really heard about this team. They beat Falmouth Town 1-0 in Cornwall.
I couldn't find Downton at all. We're Googling. It's Salisbury somewhere, isn't it? Somewhere up there.
They play in the Wessex League, so that's about right.
There is no Abbey. Actually, I did scribble that down there. In Wessex League Division 1, they're second behind Hamworthy.
Yeah, they're below in the steps. They're step 6, whereas Brixham is step 5, which I spoke to Tim Porter this week, and he said, which is, you know, what they were doing, what Brixham were doing last year before they were promoted, and they were doing well having to play teams in the level above them. So, shoot, boots on the other foot, he said, basically, this year.
Commiserations to Buckland, who lost to St Austell.
Yep, Dan Hart, former St Austell man, was fuming.
Jared Lewington scored a cracking goal for Buckland.
Yeah, and then they finished the game with Lewington, and I can't remember which other player was off the field.
Yeah.
Sinbind.
And Brixham and Buckland met at Wall Park.
You went?
I went.
I like the way, Guy, that you still cannot think of them any other way than Brixham United. Because you tagged Brixham United.
Did
on your Facebook post.
Did,
not Brixham.
No, did I really? Apologies, Brixham. It's force of habit.
It's because you play for them, didn't
decades
you?
Of going to Wall Park as Brixham United. Yeah. And a quick mention for Val Edgecombe, who was one of the stalwarts of Brixham United.
Right.
Back in the day when I used to play up there, Val used
when
to
when you run... were the rock of the centre of defence.
Yeah, the non-finesse player.
Yeah.
Val used to not only run the tea hut, but she was instrumental in loads of other things that went on in the club. Her son Chris, who lots of people know, Chris Edgecombe from local radio, was on Facebook this morning just to break the sad news that Val has died overnight. So another giant of local football.
Yeah.
One of the kind of people who keeps local football going. On those
so valuable, those people.
Those rainy Saturday afternoons in November when there were about 20 people at the game.
Yeah.
Val was the kind of person who kept the atmosphere going, kept the kettle boiling.
There'll be many going. Steaming mugs of tea held up there in memory of Val, I'm sure.
Yeah, a little salute to Val Edgecombe. Buckland went through in the Les Phillips Cup after a penalty shootout.
Uh-huh.
Grant Fisher took the last penalty for Brixham, and it may still be going up.
Really? This is, of course, Grant Fisher, who was Buckland's goalkeeper for many years before moving away and then coming back to Brixham. So
he took the responsibility of the fifth and final penalty in the shootout, and if the houses hadn't been there behind the goal at Wall Park, it probably would have landed in St Mary's Bay.
Grant's a very interesting character, and he would have
terrific
absolutely
goalkeeper.
Been absolutely I've got to score this, I've got to score this, I've got to score this.
Yeah, there was no question that he was taking it.
Yeah, exactly.
He wanted it. He had a really good game in goal as
He just did a great goalkeeper. I mean, of course, he did have a moment or two at Torquay, didn't he?
He did.
We must mention Gary's thoughts on Kenny Griffiths as well. Another ex-Buckland goalkeeper.
Yes.
He was very complimentary of Gary finding Philippe.
Chalupny Jack.
Thank you.
And Kenny was at Wall Park on Tuesday night.
Was he?
I did briefly see Kenny at Wall Park, but he had his head in his phone, so he was obviously he was probably scouting for goalkeepers.
Yeah.
But
not Grant Fisher.
But I mean, the job that Kenny does there with the goalkeepers, there are obviously Mark Holstead and Rhys Lovett,
yeah,
and now Philip Chalupnyak. There's always a third goalkeeper, isn't
there? Yeah.
You need three goalkeepers for all the drills and routines.
Yeah, there's normally, yeah. So he's done well. I mean, he's a very likeable man. His dad's very likeable, as you know. He sends you all sorts of knick-knackery.
He does. World Cup coins.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it's a job that's often underestimated.
Yeah,
indeed. Because people don't see, unless you watch Torquay in the kick-in,
yeah,
you don't really see the goalkeeper's coach. It's a job that kind of goes under the radar. Kenny, it's worth watching in the kick-in. Kenny's a good crosser. Yeah. You know, if Jack Stobbs ever gets in, they could sign Kenny up, getting the crosses into the box.
With no disrespect to Kenny, I don't think he'd be so quick going down the wing, though.
True. But he certainly packs a punch with those crosses. So Saturday...
Well, I've let my coffee go cold.
I have to make you another one now. Saturday, home to Yeovil. Get a ticket. They're £12 for the pop side to over there.
Happy Christmas.
Be nice to get nice to get a decent crowd in
there. You haven't got any Christmas decorations up yet, Guy?
It's November.
I know, but my local pub's got the decorations up, and there was something, and I went to the range yesterday, and it was like Christmas.
Was it really?
It was like the world of Christmas.
There was a house behind the goal at Wall Park.
Yeah.
One of those. But when I used to play there, it was a field. All this was fields.
Yeah, I know that, yeah.
And if you put the ball over the bar, somebody would have to trudge through a muddy field to
Now they just have to go in someone's back garden.
It's all houses. And one of the houses behind the goal has its Christmas lights on.
Very good.
It's very early.
Yeah.
But the way I look at it, and
it's just, only 6 weeks, you know.
But getting a bit philosophical, people have had such a rotten time.
Yeah.
Health-wise, politics-wise, all kinds of things. If they want a bit of extra cheer a couple of weeks early, who are we to be grudging?
Yeah, we're having two Christmases in our house.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay, why?
Because some members of our household are going up to Scotland, so we're having... Yeah, so... Early Christmas and late normal Christmas. Sounds and good. In between, my birthday.
Scotland's all about New Year, though, isn't it, more than Christmas?
Yeah, probably.
So, entertaining. Thank you for your company.
I need a new phone, Guy, because mine's cracked.
You do need a new phone. You have.
I've cracked my phone.
I'm busy trying to wind this podcast up.
We keep going off
at tangents here because people will be falling asleep.
If anyone wants to buy me a new phone for Christmas just to bring those two ends together, then that's good.
You could endorse a brand of phones.
Have we ever had any freebies sent to us? Like a Rolex?
We had cake. Yeah, we had a lovely cake.
We had a fridge magnet from Julian.
Fridge magnet,
Pen
and World Cup coins.
Yeah.
But if anybody wants to provide
I'm in the market for a new phone. Yeah.
Who knows? See ya. We'll see you at Playmore on Saturday.
We will.
Taunton on Tuesday. And we'll see you back on the podcast next week. And we'll finish as we always do.
Happy Christmas. That was his head banging against the table.
Come on, you yellows, flying high below this Wembley archway sky today. Come on, you yellows, full of pride.